This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions.
We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you tips for building happiness into everyday life. This week, we'll talk about why you might consider doing a boot camp, and we'll also discuss one of the most fascinating strategies for habit change, the strategy of the lightning bolt. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft, who, I hope, has started her new habit of working on her young adult novel in the morning before work.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And novel aside, Gretch, I deserve a gold star because last night I went to sleep so early that the alarm I set to remind myself to go to bed actually woke me up.
Excellent. Gold star for you. And how'd you feel this morning?
Really good.
Excellent. Excellent. So speaking of gold stars for Elizabeth, how is the novel writing coming?
Does that tell you everything?
Well, you know, I'm keeping you accountable. So I'm not just being a happiness bully here. I'm following your instructions by holding you accountable.
I asked for this. Yes. I've been having trouble, Gretchen, because, well, in my defense, the whole kindergarten thing has taken up a lot more time than I thought it would. So as I mentioned in the last episode, a couple mornings a week, I'm staying at school and going to the chapel.
Yeah.
And then there have been numerous events, you know, sort of because it's the beginning of the school year. And then one day a week, I do Inform Fitness before work. So it's really only 4 days free. So I have to say that I feel like I've only had one day to actually really do any work. And that day I did a little bit of rewriting, but I didn't write anything new. So I don't know what to do.
Well, so maybe you need to pick a different time that's going to be the 45 minutes or hour a day that you're going to spend on it. It sounds like this slice of time is not free the way you thought it would be.
Yeah, it's not. It's sort of my morning seemed to have swelled to, you know, accommodate this extra time. Maybe I do. Maybe I need to work on it at night, you know, for 45 minutes at night, like you said.
That's hard. Night is hard.
It is hard, but it's the only option because obviously I'm very busy and ensconced in the show during the day. So I don't know. I need to think about it. I still wish this morning time would work out, but I guess I just have to be honest with myself that it's probably not going to.
Well, if you have Inform one day a week and chapel 2 days a week, that's 3 out of 5 days.
Yeah.
So you would only be, but you know, maybe while you're pondering this and seeing how you're adjusting the schedule, really try to do it in those 2 days.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Yeah. It's easy to be like, well, what's 2 days? But it's like, at least do those 2 days and see how things progress.
Okay, I will do that. And meanwhile, I'm going to try to wrap my mind around working some evenings too.
Well, I think, yeah.
I'm not working on the show.
Right, right. Okay, well, so try this at home for this week is, and this is very relevant to what we were just talking about, Elizabeth, which is to try a boot camp for yourself.
Well, I love this concept. Continue.
Well, so if you're frustrated or you're stuck in something, I find that for me, it can really help to like have a boot camp if you want a breakthrough. You know, if you really want to be super intense, throw all your energy at something for a short amount of time. You know, it's not something that's sustainable, but it's you're going to do a boot camp.
I love that because it's like it makes it suddenly it's a priority. You can boot camp anything. Like I could say I was going to have a cooking boot camp. Not that I ever would. But if I did, suddenly I would put all my energy, all my extra energy into cooking.
Right. Well, no. And so sometimes the thing about a boot camp is that it's not necessarily a good way to change your habits. And one of the things I talk about in Better Than Before is that often when you work towards a goal or when you do something like a boot camp, like I'm going to do a 30-day yoga challenge or I'm going to give up sugar for Lent or something like that, which is kind of a boot camp approach. It doesn't necessarily change your habits because a habit is something that we really have to do forever. It's not about eating healthfully for Lent. It's about eating healthfully forever. It's not about a boot camp for this weekend. It's about writing every day forever. But I do think that a boot camp, a period of intense focus, can help you kind of get into something. You know, sometimes it's just hard to get into it, get into a project. And then once you're over that hurdle and you're inside of it, then maybe you can focus on building the habits that are going to sustain you for the long term.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like take big steps. You know, one of your things is take big steps instead of small steps. This is like a big step thing.
Yes. And one way that I've done this, which was really fun, and a lot of people have done this, it's called National Novel Writing Month. And November is the, you know, is technically National Novel Writing Month, but you can do it at any point. And I did it. I read this guy Chris Beatty's book called No Plot, No Problem. And what it is that for 30 days, you write 1,167 words. And at the end of it, you have a 50,000 word novel, which, by the way, is as long as The Great Gatsby or The Catcher in the Rye. And the idea is for a month, you do this every single day. And there's a whole website and people do it together and they have meetups and it's this whole thing. And the idea is that sometime when you're creatively stuck, if you just bang it out in this short, intense period, that it gets you over that initial hump.
Well, if I would never commit myself to doing that because I know I wouldn't, but I think that's an incredible idea.
But maybe you could you give yourself a boot camp for your novel for like 2 days? Could you have I think it's harder with fiction to do like a 2 day super intense boot camp.
Well, but maybe I could say I'm going to work, you know, 2 hours a day for 2 days, you know, just as you said, to get the jump start, just to do it and sort of break that ice, you know.
Well, I had kind of a boot camp recently because I'm writing this book about the four tendencies, which is going to be a little book that just goes very deeply into the four tendencies framework. And I'd been sort of doing it here and there in dribs and drabs, you know, because I have a whole bunch of stuff going on. And it was sort of making me crazy. Even though I really love working on this book, I just kept feeling like my attention kept getting dragged away from it. But I was traveling and I was speaking and I spoke on a Friday and I spoke on a Monday. So I had the weekend free out of town. And so I just did nothing all day long except work on my Four Tendencies book. I mean, I woke up in the morning. Wow. I was working on it. I mean, I took breaks to eat and to like go for walks and go to the gym. But basically until I went to sleep that night for 2 days. And it was so clarifying, like, you know, because sometimes you have a thought, then you get interrupted. It takes so long to get in and out. I was so focused. I was so in it. It was great. And I was so happy that the circumstances had put me in this boot camp situation because it really did give me a big thrust forward in the momentum of the project.
Well, that's perfect. Meanwhile, you know what I'm thinking is you could have a boot camp for anything. Like you could have a romance boot camp with your husband where you go, okay, 3 nights this week, we're going to, you know, have a romantic evening together. Or you could have, you know, a fun boot camp.
We have got to do that.
Focusing on fun.
Let's have a sister fun boot camp one of these days.
I love that idea.
We're going to just have fun boot camp.
Hopefully that'll be set at a spa.
Yeah, it will definitely be set at a spa. Or you, on the opposite end of the spectrum, you could have like cleaning the house boot camp. Because I think there's just something about like boot camp. It just sounds like, ooh, it sounds sort of fun and hardcore and limited in a good way.
Exactly. The fact that you know it's going to end and that at the end you're going to have a feeling of accomplishment. That's the key. It's like, it's even though you have your thing of don't reach a goal, It's like, this is kind of a tangent to that.
Yes. It sounds awful, but it also sounds fun. It sounds like something you can brag about to your friends as well.
Totally. So let us know if you do a boot camp and what kind of boot camp it is. Would love to hear from you.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
So, Gretch, today we're talking about the strategy of the lightning bolt, which is a very intriguing phrase. So tell us about it.
Yeah, I love the strategy of the lightning bolt. So in my book, Better Than Before, I talk about the 21 strategies we can use to make or break our habit. And the strategy of the lightning bolt is very unusual among the 21 strategies. It really stands out from the rest because the strategy of the lightning bolt is not something that we can invoke. We can't control it. It's something that happens to us. And it happens to us when somehow our ideas change. We have an experience. We learn information. We read something. We have a conversation. We see a documentary where something happens. We're hit by a lightning bolt. Our ideas change and our habits change dramatically overnight, effortlessly. And the strategy of the lightning bolt, it has its power from knowledge, beliefs, ideas.
Well, have you ever experienced this strategy of the lightning bolt?
Absolutely, I have. And it's funny because it had happened to me a couple of years before I started writing about habits. And so it had always puzzled me what had happened to me. Like, I was hit by this lightning bolt. My habits dramatically changed and I couldn't understand exactly what had happened. And it was only when I was doing the research for the book that I understood my own experience. So for me, the idea that changed was an idea about nutrition. So I was on spring break we go away with my in-laws, my family, and I had brought this book called Why We Get Fat by Gary Tobbs. And I was interested in Elizabeth a lot because of you. You know, you have type 1 diabetes, and so I have been really interested in insulin and control of insulin ever since. And I from flipping through the book, I saw it was a lot about insulin. So I read this book, and I have to say, overnight, my beliefs, my thoughts, my knowledge about nutrition dramatically changed. And from one day to the next, I completely changed the way I eat.
Wow.
You know, the only thing that I still eat that I eat the same way is like leafy green vegetables, basically. And it was dramatic. And the thing that was weird was that it was effortless because you think of eating habits, something, oh, you got to chip away and do substitutions and a little bit over time. And it's so complicated and frustrating. And this just happened in a flash. I was hit by that lightning bolt.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is, and this is just basically switching to a low carb diet, which people can believe in or not believe in, but it works for you. But Dad had the same lightning bolt. You got him to read the book and then he had the same lightning bolt. So it wasn't just working for you, it worked for him too. And I think it's been effortless for him as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that's great about the lightning bolt is that it tends to make change effortless. The thing that's frustrating about it is that you can't make it happen to you. It sort of hits you like a force of nature. Now, how about you, Elizabeth? Have you ever been hit by a lightning bolt that totally changed your habits?
Yeah. Well, and this, I don't know if it's habits, but it's definitely hit by a lightning bolt and it changed my life, you know, forever and completely, which is the story of sort of how I moved to Los Angeles. You know, Sarah and I, my writing partner, had been great friends in high school. And then one Christmas after college, we met up at a bar in Kansas City and we're just catching up. And over the course of a few beers, I basically went from saying, oh, I'm going to visit you in L.A., because she was at the time on a cross-country journey moving to L.A. from North Carolina, where she'd been in grad school. I was very ensconced in New York, thought I would never leave New York. And by the end of that evening, I was hit by the lightning bolt. I'm going to move to L.A. And I stayed up all night thinking about it. And then the next morning, I came down at like 6:30 in the morning, which shocked mom and dad, and said, I'm moving to L.A. And it was just this lightning bolt that was like, oh, my God, this is what I should do. And 6 weeks later, I was living with Sarah at a beach house in Santa Monica. And it all just happened once that idea struck.
It was amazing. No, I was there because I was home from college, or I don't know, we were home for Christmas. And I remember you sitting there in your nightgown, like drinking coffee, being like, wow, I think I'm going to do this. And then bang, I mean, it happened so fast. You would have thought it wouldn't have been possible for you to like get out of your apartment in New York, find a place in LA, make the move. I mean, it was extraordinary. And so I think that, you know, and sometimes like people, you know, they get a diagnosis, they have a birthday, they're in an accident.
Well, pregnancy.
Pregnancy. Yes. I had a conversation with a guy who worked with a lot of really high risk patients. And he's like, oh, but, you know, there's something that I've seen, you know, not always, but sometimes it makes people like quit the craziest things. Like, you know, you think they can't stop doing this and stop doing that. And then overnight they do. And I said, what is it? Like, what's the big thing? And he said, getting pregnant. Not always, but sometimes just knowing that a person's pregnant will let her totally change her habits.
Now, you know, I wonder, though, if the strategy of the lightning bolt feels like a lightning bolt, but is actually many little things that build up into a lightning bolt moment. In other words, you know, when you read that book, were you maybe primed to want to eat a different way?
Now, I think that part of it was that I had all these questions that had always bothered me, like things that I thought weren't explained under the traditional model, that I was always like, but what about this? What about that? And this, like everything, I could feel myself being like, that's true. That's true. Oh, yeah. OK, that explains that. Now I understand that. Or like I would be thinking about it. Well, that makes sense because of X, Y, Z. And then I tried it and I had exactly the effect on me. So I felt like my ideas were vindicated or were proved in my own experience. So I think you're right. But it is weird how sometimes like it definitely feels like, whoa, like what just happened? I see the world in a totally different way. It's weird.
It's exciting.
It's exciting.
Well, I'm dying to hear if any of our listeners have had lightning bolt moments and what they've been. I mean, it could be anything. You know, this could be a marriage, a divorce, a career thing, a having or not having kids thing. I mean, who knows?
No, I mean, I remember Arianna Huffington tells the story about how she collapsed from exhaustion. She just passed out and like broke her cheekbone and woke up in a pool of blood. And she's like, I've got to change my life, and totally changed her life. So that was a very dramatic Wow. lightning bolt. But it's the same thing where like something is this wake up call, or something shocks you with a new idea. And then your habits change from that. So yeah, send them in. Dying to hear.
Another way to reach us is to leave a voicemail question at 774-277-9336, or easier to remember, 77-HAPPY-336. And Gretchen, this week, our listener question comes from Elizabeth in Tennessee.
Wait, you know, and Elizabeth, before we listen, I think we get an unusually high number of comments and questions from people named Elizabeth. Does it seem that way to you?
I draw them to me.
So let's hear it.
Hi, this is Elizabeth from Tennessee. Do you have any tips on finishing up the little leftover things that need to be done after you've moved houses? We moved 4 months ago. We are all settled in, but we have random boxes that still need to be unpacked, areas of the house that need to be organized, such as the pantry or playroom, and just some little odds and ends that we really don't have to do to make it through a week, but just need to get done. Any tips or ideas on how to tackle those projects so that we feel completely moved in? Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, Gretch, well, it seems like you would have a million tips for Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah. Like, I love this kind of thing. And first of all, of course, it has to be said that when you move, it's like the old advice is really true, that you want to do everything right away, because if you don't do it in that first burst of moving in energy, then that stuff tends to linger months, years, perhaps decades. Perhaps. Because, you know, we've all had that where, like, the stuff, you got to do it right away. But here's a couple things that you could use. One is Power Hour, which is once a week for 1 hour, I have a list of things that I can postpone indefinitely, like these things that she has, these little boxes in unorganized areas. They mount up, they drain our energy. But so for 1 hour once a week, I just work through that list, and it's enormously energizing. And you can do anything for an hour, because an hour is just not that bad.
And maybe if you've just moved, you should have a power hour every day.
Ah, yes. Yes, until you get through it. And here's another one. And Elizabeth, this is something that I often say to you when I am over in your house trying to be my own happiness cheerleader about clutter, as I do, which is don't get organized, which doesn't sound like the typical thing you would say. But I think sometimes people are like, well, I really have to organize this stuff. But really the question is, do you want it at all? So here you have these things that are kind of left over. So they must not be so important to Elizabeth, or they would be in their proper, like measuring cups. You need them. You're going to put them in their place. This is the stuff that's just kind of hanging around. So maybe you don't need it. It's instead of putting it away, maybe you want to just like either recycle it or give it away, or you know, let it go outside your house, because the fact that it's not put away might be a sign that you don't really need it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have the theory, you know, if you haven't opened a box in a year, just throw it out and don't even look inside.
I've heard of people doing that, and it sounds really aggressive. And then there is the person who's like, oh, I was going to do that, and then I opened the box and my birth certificate was inside or whatever. So it seems high risk, but it's definitely intriguing. You know, you don't even open them, just toss them.
And Gretchen, you know what I think would help in a situation like this is to sort of reframe the task. So Elizabeth is looking at these boxes and it's feeling overwhelming and cumbersome to have to get rid of all these boxes and organize all this stuff. But maybe if she said to herself, oh, I get to organize my new office area now, and it's my new little office nest, and isn't that exciting in this new home? Maybe it'll help her, you know, give herself a boost to actually want to do it, as opposed to forcing herself to do it.
Yeah. Instead of like, I have to organize the garage, it's I get to organize the garage. And you reframe it as something like that, reminding yourself of, oh, I wanted to change houses. I'm excited about my new place. Yeah, no, that's great advice. So listeners, what other tips do you have? This is the kind of thing where people have really smart, interesting strategies. So please send them in. What would you say to somebody who's dealing with those bits and bobs, those odds and ends that are left over after a major move?
We all know that our life and our health can be improved when we eat nourishing, healthy meals, but it can be hard to maintain. With Sunbasket Meal Kits, it's easy because they take care of the details. Sunbasket offers 18 chef-crafted, dietitian-approved recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, and keto-friendly. The recipes are quick and easy to follow, and you can enjoy a meal full of organic produce and clean ingredients that's ready in 30 minutes or less.
Try mouthwatering Sunbasket dishes like salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and seared squash, or steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes. My son Jack loves salmon, and he loves the Sunbasket salmon burgers. Go to sunbasket.com/happier today to get $45 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/happier to get $45 off your first box plus free shipping.
Okay, Elizabeth, it's demerit and gold star, and you are up with the demerit.
Well, Gretch, this is actually a demerit that you and I are sharing. So you get a demerit and a gold star this week.
Uh-huh.
And the demerit is to us because we did not get a guest for the podcast this week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're working on somebody, but the timing didn't work out to get this guest in time for this episode.
I know. And we're trying to have guests, you know, there's not a set number, but every, you know, at least like every three episodes or so. And we have, of course, a ton of people that we would love to have on. And you and I kind of went back and forth, but we just didn't focus on saying, okay, well, who can we who would be willing to come in this day and record with us. So as a result, we're down a guest. And I do feel like, you know, we want to, you know, not lose our habit of getting a guest. So we have to focus in on that for our next.
We need to monitor it. We need to schedule it. We need to hold ourselves accountable. We need to make it more convenient. We got all the habit strategies at our fingertips. We know what we need to do. So Elizabeth, okay, we're gonna do that. So that's the demerit.
And what's your gold star?
Oh yeah, this is, I'm so happy to give this gold star. So my whole life I've been attracted to libraries, and my earliest memory is the Kansas City Library with that, like, that crazy indoor plants and that tube of water that fascinated me, and those weird murals, and it had a very,
and the smell.
The smell. Oh, what would I give? They tore down that library. What would I give to walk in and smell that smell again? And my whole life. So I met my husband, Jamie, in the law school library. I spent a lot of college hanging out in the library, not working, but sort of pretending like I was working. I love being in libraries. And I am so incredibly lucky because I live in New York City, and I am one block away from the New York Society Library. And this, which kind of sounds kind of like a fancy name, New York Society Library, but it's not. It was actually... It was founded in 1754. It got a charter from George III. I mean, we're talking way back. It was six civic-minded guys. There was no library in New York, so they decided they would form a library. And it was, like, looted during the British during the Revolution by the British. And anyway, it has a whole history. And now... And it's a block from my house, and it makes me so happy. There are almost 300,000 volumes. I got this app so that I can borrow ebooks. They've got audiobooks. Oh, wow. They've got an amazing children's room, which, of course, I love children's literature. So for me, that is just wonderful. And, you know, the thing about me is I really love to read, and I like to read stuff that's pretty esoteric, I have to say. And so recently,
yes,
I was like,
do.
I read about this book called Hunting the Wren. And Hunting the Wren is this, you know, kind of English symbolic tradition, blah, blah, blah. Like weird, very, not something that every person is going to want to check out of their branch library, I would say. You know, and I look in the card catalog and there it is, Hunting the Wren, Transformation of Bird to Symbol, a Study in Human-Animal Relationships. It's in my you know, it's in my house right now. I checked that thing out. And so I just want to say gold star to New York Society Library because... It makes me happy to just walk by it. It makes me happy every time I go to check out books. I love returning books. Returning books is a whole different happiness than checking out books. The people who work there are amazing. It's an extraordinary collection.
A lot of writing there.
I do a ton of writing there. Absolutely, yes. I go there and I squirrel myself away in these desks that they have sort of hidden around. And I write there because then I'm shut away from all the distractions of being at home. And there's just something about being in a library that makes me want to work and want to focus. Sometimes I work in a room where there's a lot of people working and there you kind of get the energy of that. Or I work when I'm all by myself and I'm just surrounded by these books and this quiet. And I just want to give a gold star to the New York Society Library and to the six civic-minded people who started it way back in the day, because I really, really appreciate it. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember, try this at home. Try a boot camp. Let us know if you tried a boot camp. And what was your boot camp? Was it a language boot camp? Was it a fun boot camp?
Also, if you have suggestions for our listener, Elizabeth, about ways to tackle those nagging little final chores when you move, please send them in.
And listeners, here's another request that we want to put out because we want to hear from you. This is what we want to know. In episode 13, happiercast.com/13, we talked about the four tendencies framework, which is this framework that I came up with to divide all of humanity into four categories. You can take a quiz on my site if you want to see what your category is. That's GretchenRubin.com. And we're going to do 4 weeks on the four tendencies. So each week we'll focus on one of the tendencies. The pros, the cons. How do you manage yourself? How do you manage other people? What about a child? What about a spouse? What about a coworker? What about a boss? What about a client? What about a patient? How do you think about those tendencies? The good parts, the bad parts. What should their motto be? What's the motto of that tendency? anything you want to comment about. It is so fascinating to hear what people say from the vantage point of the Four Tendencies. So send in your comments, your questions, your insights, so that we have a lot of fodder for those four episodes when we're going to focus on the four different tendencies.
Today, we want to thank our engineer, Laura Mayer, as well as our producer, Henry Malofsky. Also, thanks to Andy Bowers of Panoply. Please let us know what you think of the show. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us in iTunes.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.